Here we are back again on chapter 13 in Numbers. And I saw some stuff coming up in Numbers. I don't remember exactly where, the 20s or something, I think. Maybe the teens, later teens. It's gonna get into some, or they were, somebody was accusing the Bible of supporting child SA, basically. And I went and looked at it, and I didn't see it like that. Like, I've read it, and I used the other Bible to read it, because it's a little clearer. We'll see what it is when we get through here. But it certainly didn't sound like that to me. So, but, I mean, the Bible's probably the most attacked book on earth. I'm not shocked to see something from the Bible completely misquoted. A good real-time example would be... Donald Trump was giving a speech about automobiles, China having factories down in Mexico, and that if, you know, they thought they were gonna, I don't know, dodge some taxes or something by doing it down there, not hiring American workers to build the vehicles, that he was gonna put 100% tariff on them, because otherwise it would be a bloodbath. And he was referring to the auto industry when he kept saying bloodbath. But if you were to go on social media, YouTube, or any of these things, all the headlines from the news are Donald Trump, you know, predicts a bloodbath. Like, they just make it, they twist it so hard. It's painful to watch, really. I used to, years ago, decades, I used to have faith in the news. I used to, I guess, believe what they were saying. And now it's so patently and so blatantly untrue what they're saying that, you just can't look around it, you know? I don't watch any of it. Really, my only exposure to it is the headlines on, you know, the news section of YouTube or random sites I'm on or whatnot. So there's been all kinds of things in the last year I had no clue were going on, shooters and things like that. That seems to be a real constant thing now. People are just shooting up places all the time. I live in Ellensburg. We just had an active shooter here the other day. Wild. Absolutely wild. You know what I mean? It was around a college, but it had nothing to do with the college. It was some 17-year-old, potentially gang-related. I think the kids out, it was stemming from Yakima. There's a lot of gang activity. Native gangs, too. So if you're thinking of gangs like, you know, Compton or Homies, like, no, it's not those kind of gangs. There's these native gangs that are treacherous out here. So it was potentially something like that, or involved in something like that. Anyway, moving on, chapter 13. Hopefully, whenever we run into that part, it doesn't stick out for any reason, and we just go past it, and I can be okay, because that would seem to fall in line with what it, you know what I mean? It didn't stand out to me when I read it. Look, and there was another one in Deuteronomy, where I think it was just at, like, God was saying SA was okay, and I went and looked at that, too, and didn't think that that's what that was saying at all. So, yeah, I guess interpretation, and just people are just flat out gonna lie. Just flat out gonna lie. Like, don't see a quote about the Bible. Like, I mean, if there's a Bible quote that's just straight out, looks like a Bible quote, you know, maybe whatever, but somebody's opinion on it, somebody telling you that this says this in the Bible, and they're just, like, hitting you with these chapters and verses, but they're not actually reading them to you, don't buy it, because they're banking on you not going and looking it up, you know? Number one selling book in the world, but a lot of people, if you were to ask them to go grab a Bible, don't have one. So, yeah. Chapter 13. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men for you, and they shall spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel. You shall send one man for the tribe of his fathers, one man, every one a leader among them." And by the command of Jehovah, Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran. They were all of them men, heads of sons of Israel, and these were the names of the tribe of Reuben: Shemua, oh man, names, here we go. Look, I'm going to butcher these, so if you're somebody that knows the names, and just prepare. Tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zakur, of the tribe of Simeon. Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar. Egal, the son of Joseph, of the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Benjamin. Palti, the son of Raphu, of the tribe of Zebulun. Gadiel, the son of Sodi, of the tribe of Joseph, of the tribe of Manasseh. Wait a minute. Sodi, of the tribe... Oh, of the tribe of Joseph. Sorry, so that was the Gadiel, son of Sodi, of the tribe of Joseph. Of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Fossi. I think I did that backwards on that one I was saying that I went back on. But you get it. I hope. of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. So yes, this one starts, so maybe it starts with the of the tribe. Anyway, of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi. Of the tribe of Gad, Geul, the son of Machi. These were the names of the men of whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. What? So Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So Oshea is going to be Joshua? Wasn't there a tribe of Joshua? We're not going to think too hard about that. Maybe there wasn't. There's a tribe of Joseph. Okay, well. Oshea. O-S-H-E-A. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. He changed his name. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, "You go up this way into Negeb, and go up into the hills, and you shall see the land, what it is, and the people who are living on it, whether it is strong or feeble, whether it is few or many, and what the land is in which they live, whether good or bad, and what are the cities in which they live, whether in camps or in fortresses, and what land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether wood is in whether wood is in it or not." Oh, fat or lean, so whether or not it has forest? Huh. I guess that would indicate water too, right? "And you shall make yourselves strong, and shall take of the fruit of the land." And it was the days of the first ripe grapes. Huh. So they got there just in time to harvest the grapes? Make some wine? "And they went up and spied out of the land, from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, at the entrance of Hamath. And they went up into Negeb, and came to Hebron, and Ahiman..." Oh boy. We're going to do some names here. "And Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the sons of Anak..." I don't remember hearing any of those names when we were saying names. "...were there. And Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt." Oh, so maybe they were already there? "And they came into the valley of Eshkol, and cut down from there a branch and one cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a staff by two, also of the pomegranates and of the figs. That place was called the Torrent of Eshkol, because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut from there. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days." They spent 40 days. 40 days seems to be a theme in the Bible. At the end of 40 days. "And they traveled and came into Moses, and came into Moses..." It just sounds like they're like Moses is a city, but okay. "And came into Moses and to Aaron." It should just say "came to." "They traveled and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the tabernacle of the congregation of the sons of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh. And they brought them and all the congregation word and showed them the fruit of the land. And they reported to him and said, We went to the land where you sent us. And it surely does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people that live in the land are fierce, and the cities are fortified, very great. And also we have seen the children of Anak there. Amalek lives in the land of the Negeb, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorites live in the hills. So that maybe they're friends with them. And the Canaanite is living by the sea and beside the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "We will certainly go up and we will seize it, for we are well able to do it." And the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for it is stronger than we." And they sent out an evil report of the land, which they had spied out to the sons of Israel, saying, "The land unto which we travel to spy it out is a land eating up its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in the midst were men of stature. And we saw the giants there, the sons of Anak, of the giants." Oh, the Nephilim? "And we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes." Oh, yeah, right? We got some Nephilim going on here. And these must be formidable, like giants. These aren't like your, what would you say, like, you know, the 10-foot, 15-foot bones that are found and allegedly hidden by the Smithsonian. We're talking about someone big enough to look at you like you're a grasshopper, which means you're like, you're smaller than one of their toes, right? I mean, a grasshopper is smaller than your toe. Your big toe for sure, but I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, you are tiny. You are tiny to this person. That's crazy. That's cool. That's crazy. Sorry, my nose. Again, it'll just start running when I'm doing it. I hadn't ran all day, but we're going to run now. It's not running bad, it's just weird. Constant problem when I'm reading the Bible. Anyway, chapter 14. Let's see what we got going on with these giants. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept during that night. And all the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And all the congregation said to them, 'Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt or in this wilderness, of that we had died. And why is Jehovah bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?'" Why? These people have no faith. Every time they're met with any obstacle, they immediately just start, "Oh God, why would you do this? He's never sent you anywhere to be harmed, right? Unless you guys went nuts and then he harmed you himself, right?" So they cry about everything at the first sign of you know, anything, of just anything. Like, I mean, if I understand what I just read, these people didn't, they learned that they had friends living there, so they didn't want to attack the place, so they lied, basically, and said that there was giants. We don't know that there's actually giants. Like, if I interpreted that right, that's how it sounded to me. Like, they were lying about it, because they didn't want to fight. But, anyway, maybe I read that wrong and there was really giants. I'm kind of hoping there was, because that's just cool. That's just good story right there. I'm into that. Back to their crying because they heard a lie. "And why is Jehovah bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our infants shall become a prey. Is it not good for us to return to Egypt?" And they said each to his brother, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Immediately, it's like Moses is up on the mountain again, and they're just immediately, "Let's just start carving some golden calves." "And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Oshea, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and those who spied out the land, tore their garments." They tore their garments. "And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land into which we traveled to spy it out is an exceedingly good land.'" Moses freaked out too. "If Jehovah has delighted in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it to us, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Jehovah, and you do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their defense has turned away from them, and Jehovah is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And the glory of Jehovah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation to all the sons of Israel.
And Jehovah said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? How long will these people despise me? And how long will they continue not to believe in me? For all the signs which I have done in its midst." Yeah, by now I am wearing the man's robes. I am everything he wants. I am head to. That guy says, "Go into the land of giants." I am marching into the land of giants. Are you kidding me? After everything this guy's done for them, everything he's shown them, the miracles he's performed, it's incredible that at the first sign of anything, these people just throw up their arms and, I mean, they don't just like sit down and wait or start praying. They immediately turn on him and start making directions to oppose whatever it was he wanted to do directly. Whether it's turning around, going away from the land that he told him to go to, or it's not, you know, adhering to his commandments and literally building calves and going back to praying to Baal or Moloch or whatever they were praying to. You know, it just, man, ye of little faith, I guess, right? "For all the signs which I have done in its midst, in their midst, I shall strike it with pestilence." No, "I shall strike them with pestilence and dispose them." Or dispossess them. I'm sorry, not dispose them. It says, "I shall strike it with pestilence and dispossess it." Since he's talking about... Oh, maybe he's talking... Maybe he's saying this as the tribe. The tribe of Israel. He's saying, I will strike it with pestilence and dispossess it. Okay. "And I will make you a nation greater and mightier than it." And Moses said to Jehovah, "And the Egyptians will hear." Wait a minute. "And the Egyptians will hear, for you have brought up this people out of their midst with your power. And they will say to the inhabitants of this land, they have heard that you, Jehovah, are in the midst of this people who is seen eye with eye. You are Jehovah, and your cloud stands over them. In a pillar of cloud, you go before them by day, and in a pillar of fire by night. And will you execute this people as one man? Then the nations who have heard your fame will speak, saying, because Jehovah is not able to bring this people into the..." Hold on. Flip a page. "Bring this people into the land which he swore to them. Therefore he has slain them in the wilderness." You know, and... What a lawyery way of wording that, right? This is a God who's just tired of his people just immediately turning on him no matter what he does for him. And he's like, "Look, I'm just going to wipe them out and we'll make a new one. Hopefully these people will respect us." You know what I mean? And Moses is like, "Oh, well, I mean, is that what you want people to think?" I mean, this is God. Why would he care what the people... He should have them think that if you constantly defy me, I'm just going to wipe you out. We're not going to deal with you. It's what happened with the flood, right? It's ultimately what's going to... Anyway, it's moving on. "And he swore to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great, as you have spoken, saying, Jehovah is slow to anger and of great mercy, bearing away iniquity and transgressions, and by no means will clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the sons, on the third, on the fourth generation. I beseech you, forgive the iniquity of these people," of this people, it says, "but of these people, according to the greatness of your mercy. And as you have borne with these people from Egypt, even until now." And Jehovah said, "I have forgiven according to your words. But as I live, all the earth shall be filled with glory of Jehovah. For all the men who are seeing my glory and my signs, which I have done in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tried, and have tried me, these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, they shall not see the land which I have sworn to their fathers. Yea, not one of these scorning me shall see it. And my servant Caleb, because there is another spirit in him, and he is fully following me, I shall bring him into the land into which he has gone, and his seed shall possess it. And the Amalekite..." And the Amalekite, Amalekite, is that how you say it? And the, I think I've heard that before, Amalekite. So we're going to roll with that. "And the Amalekite and the Canaanite were living in the valley. tomorrow turn up and pull up stakes for yourselves, going into the wilderness, the way of the Red Sea. And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil company who are murmuring against me? I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel, which they are murmuring against me. Say to them, as I live, says Jehovah, as surely as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do it to you. Oh, so I will do to you. Same thing. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered ones, as to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, and that you have murmured against me. Good. Good. Thank you, man. That makes... it's stupid, but it kind of makes me happy, because I wouldn't want to think that the guy that's done all these great things and has all this power would need to keep getting taught how to be compassionate by Moses, right? Like, because God's got a plan. He's still doing work. And he needs his people to, you know, follow him to complete the work, right? So, it's like DEI. You can't just keep giving in to the workers. Eventually, you'll just have a workforce that can't do anything. And what are you going to do with that? You know what I mean? Like, if you got 20 baristas more worried about how they're addressed rather than making your coffee, you're not going to have a very popular coffee shop, right? It's not going to be very functional. You're not going to be profitable. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? It's nice to see the guy get upset and tell them, like, look. And he said 10 times. Like, we've been reading through this. I haven't counted how many times they've gone against him, but I'll take that word. That sounds good to me. 10 times. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, three strikes, you're out, right? 10 times? Anyway, I'm just going off on a rant here. I want my God to be firm. Sounds like he is. Okay, so this is verse 30 in Numbers. We're still on chapter 14. You shall certainly not come into the land which I lifted up my hand to cause you to live in it, except Caleb the son of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. As for your infants, of whom you have said, they shall be a prey, I shall bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. As for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall bear your fornications until your carcasses are wasted in the wilderness. Shall bear your fornications. Is that your gene? They'll have kids for the 40 years? Shall bear your fornication. That's a weird way of saying that. It throws me. Until your carcasses are wasted in the wilderness. By the number of the days in which you spied out the land. So 40 days. 40 days. A day for a year. A day for a year. So 40 years. You shall bear your iniquities 40 years. You shall know my alienation from you. I am Jehovah. I have spoken. There you go, bud. Now that makes sense. Get him in line and let's go. I shall do this to all this evil. I shall do this to all this evil company who are gathered together against me. They shall be brought to an end in this wilderness, and they shall die. There they shall die. And the men whom Moses had sent to spy out the land, and who, when they returned, made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land. Oh, okay. Why is that doing that? That would be an extremely weird typo. So right here, it says, by bringing up an evil report against the land, there's a comma, then there's a 7. And then there's the word even. If you were to take the 7 as an S, it spells 7. But it's not... There's no 6 or 5 or 8 after it anywhere. This is a large 7. That is weird. I'm not entirely sure what to think of that. I'm just going to skip it. But is that a marker for something else? Now I'm going to have to look and see if that... Is that a marker for something else that I'm not aware of? It's the first time I've run into a number, though, all the way through this book like that. There hasn't been any larger numbers other than the
chapter numbers or the verse numbers. And the verse numbers are small. They're tiny compared to the regular letters. Anyway, we'll just move past it, and I'll try and remember that. I definitely will if I run into something like this again, but I guess I'm looking for an 8 now? Or the number to restart? Anyway. First time I've seen it, I'll just move past it. Bringing up the evil report against the land. Even those men bringing up an evil report of the land died by the plague before Jehovah. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. And Moses told these words to all the sons of Israel, and the people mourned deeply. And they rose up early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, Behold, we are here, and we will go up to the place which Jehovah has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Why do you now transgress the command of Jehovah, since it will not prosper? Do not go up for Jehovah. It is not in your midst, even that you shall not be defeated by your enemies. For the... Amalekite and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned back from following Jehovah, and Jehovah is not with you. And they presumed to go up to the top of the mountain, but the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah and Moses did not leave the middle of the camp. this word just kills me. Some of these words, like, if I knew what they were, I can pronounce them, but even if I know what they are, they're hard to say for me. I've never felt like I had more of a speech impediment until I was trying to read some of these words. The Amalekite and the Canaanite who were living on in that mountain came down and struck them and beat them down to Hormah. Okay, so they got attacked. So none of them are going there now. I thought he was, because of what Moses was saying, that he was actually going to, like, maybe let some of them go. You know, like, not. But he basically just told Moses, shut up. I mean, he didn't say that, obviously, but you know what I mean. He definitely didn't listen to Moses. He didn't kill them all, but he definitely went after the guys that were talking smack about him. And then he didn't give the land to those people, did he? He sent them back. I guess they're going to go back home. Or maybe they are still going. I don't know. They're in Hormah now, though, I guess. Or just the ones that... That's just the ones that left the camp? Is that not all of them? So it was just some of them that wanted to go to the top? I'm going back and looking real quick. Joshua, the son of Caleb, went to spy on Moses. Mourned deeply. The sons of Israel and the people mourned deeply, and they rose up. So we're saying the sons of Israel. So all of Israel, all the sons of Israel, everyone that was in this camp. And they went up to the top of the mountain, saying, Behold, we are here. And we will go up to the place where Jehovah had promised. Well, this just, huh. I'm confused because it looks like in the beginning of the next chapter they're going to be allowed to go. And I don't want to jump into it because I'm about 30 minutes in and that chapter 15 is going to be long. Yep. So we're not going to do that. But I will, I believe, jump back into this tomorrow. It's starting to actually pick up. Like, it's not just... There's a lot of names, but we're not just going through a ledger. Like, people are moving around now. We're telling stories. Crazy stuff is happening, right? In this episode, we talked about giants, even though I think that was a lie. That's what it sounds like. But there's apparently giants around, right? Because they used the threat of this tribe, the sons of Anak or whatever it was. I don't remember what it was exactly. I'm probably saying that wrong. But the sons of whoever that was... And the people immediately understood that to be giants, so there must be a threat of giants. I find that cool. I'm writing down 15 so I know where to pick up the next chapter. And I am done for now. We'll pick back up in chapter 15, Numbers. And it's starting to get wild, and I know there's going to be some more stuff coming up, so cool. All right, I think after this is Deuteronomy. I have no idea what that is. I don't even know what the word means, so that'll be fun to learn. Hopefully it gives an explanation for the word as I go through it. If not, I'll look it up, but whatever. I hope you've all had a great day, and go with God.